Heavenly Father, we come by the blood of Jesus. I confess my sins. I duck under the covering of my self-spiritual Father that asks for fresh mercy, grace, Lord, and the enablement of the Holy Spirit to bring the word in season. That as we share from the word this day, you will enable me to speak in key as the oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it, Lord, go for the power and clarity and simplicity in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in the heart and life to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds better enlightened, revelation knowledge of Christ, and our emotions better controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask for help to redeem time of the statements that are necessary, help to bring praise and glory to your name, and edification to all sons and men. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We will continue our study in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read from verses 8 to 9. That's where we stop. I'll do a brief recap as we come. Please let's settle down very quickly as we go into the word. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 8 to 9. We'll read. Paul was talking to Timothy's son, and in the earlier verse, he had told him in verse 7 that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There is so much that the enemies will listen upon us at this time to make us afraid. But let's say to ourselves, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So I read verse 8. It says, be not thou therefore, read after me, be not thou therefore ashamed of what the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Next verse. Who hath saved us? Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. So you can connect those verses together. Like the other time we spoke about it, Paul was telling his son Timothy, and by extension God is telling us, especially in these troublous times, he's telling us, as he told Timothy, be not ashamed, or that word ashamed means be not reluctant to do something, or to fear, or run out of fear of being embarrassed or humiliated. So say, be not ashamed of two things. Say, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of me, second, and of me, is prisoner. And of me, is prisoner. So those are two things that Paul is telling us that we should not be ashamed of. He says that we should not be ashamed of testifying. It's so to summarize. He said, Timothy should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. That speaks about our ability to witness for Christ. You see, with the ongoing events in the world, if we are not careful, it is possible, like mommy will say, for you to put your Bible and hide your Bible when you get home. No, but God wants to be bold about it. He wants to be bold about witnessing about Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That speaks about not just witnessing and getting people born again, also of the purpose of Christianity. Yeah, Christianity has a purpose, which is to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be bold about it. People may come to us and say, nobody has ever explained before. But the Bible says, God is not a man to lie, neither the son of man to repent. The second thing he told him is that you should not be ashamed of him. Is what? Prisoner. Say prisoner. At this time, Paul was suffering persecution and affliction. So he was telling Timothy, say, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You know why? Christ says to him, say, why is ashamed of me? This I'll be ashamed of him of my in the presence of my Father in heaven. So God doesn't want to be ashamed. Let's open our Bible. Let's read from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Let us see in the Amplified Bible. Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, the Amplified Bible. What does it say? Do not blush. Let's go. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify. Say, to testify and to and for our Lord, nor of me is a prisoner. For his sake, say, but with me, take your own what? Share. Everybody has a share. We are all shareholders in the persecution and the affliction of Christ. But the day that we leave God, he will suffer persecution. But be of good cheer, overcome. Say, so take your own share of the sufferings to which the preaching, say, the preaching of the gospel may what? Expose you and do it in the power of God. So the preaching of the gospel, or living a godly life, is going to expose you to persecution and affliction. But he says at the same time that, Lord, what is the way of escape? He said, do it in the power of God. Praise the Lord. It's very important. So we define the other time. Just read through to book for recap. Persecution and affliction. What is persecution? Pastor has taught us. It is rejection and physical attack from men to hinder our faith or to take us away from God. It is directed by Satan to test our loyalty to God and to those that are following God. Leadership. That is why John Mark ran away. That's why he ran away. That's why Demas forsook Paul. But will not forsake the gospel, or those that are following after the Lord in Jesus' name. Then he said, and then the text I put here, you see, it says that, what is affliction? Affliction is bodily and circumstantial attacks orchestrated by Satan remotely without any consciously willing human agent. Everybody say, You see, one, you can see those that are behind it, that they were going to carry Jesus Christ and throw him down to kingdom and walk between them. But this one, Satan does it. It is done by the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why you see things like social distancing, all these things are very important. Because the prince of the power of the air, he begins to move, you know, you don't know where people have gone to and all these things. But see, we are not ignorant of devices. Say, what? And because what does Jesus say about this affliction? Affliction comes, it's bodily circumstantial attacks against the body. And it has one purpose. It tries to what? To kill us or to destroy us. But let's say he has failed in Jesus' name. So we are not ignorant of his devices. Praise the Lord. Try to do a brief recap. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to see what Paul said. Or I'll quote. You know, Paul went to the Lord talking about this affliction. Said, he was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, he besought the Lord three times. I just said, look, Paul, stop all this you're trying to me. He said that my grace is what? Sufficient for you. He said, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. So that's the scripture I just quoted. So, but like I quoted earlier, let's open 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Because you see, persecution and affliction is part and part of the gospel. Jesus Christ was telling them, book of Matthew also. He said that if they love you, talking about the world, he said that's what they did to the scribes and Pharisees. But see, when you are hot and fervent to Christ, you know, when you are a terror to the kingdom of darkness, Satan will kick up all kinds of dust against you. But he has failed. Praise the Lord. What does the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11? What does it say? 2 Timothy 3, 11. Let's read, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Where Paul was talking about this persecution and affliction that he's gone through. Say, 2 Timothy, Lord have mercy. Let me check in my book, Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. What does it say? It says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I what? Endured. But out of them all, the Lord did what? Delivered me. Say, out of them all, the Lord did what? The Lord delivered me. Praise the Lord. So you see, even though they come, but we have a guarantee in the word that God will deliver them, deliver us from them all. Now, verse 12. What does it say? It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. It is a must if we decide to live godly that we'll suffer persecution. But we must not be afraid. But be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world. We just use that persecution and affliction as a stepping stone to move high up in God. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 34 verse 19 says, many, say many, are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from them. Oh, the righteous, not the unrighteous or the wicked. The Bible says, if the righteous be scarcely saved, what shall be the end of the ungodly and the wicked? But the Lord derives from them all. Now, what? Why does persecution and affliction come? I've said it. But the best scripture that explains the book of, found in the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 17, talking about the parable of the sower. It says that persecution and affliction arise there for the world's sake. Let's together say, and have no root in themselves, talking about the seed that fell on the stony ground. Say, but for a time afterward, when what? Affliction or what? Persecution arise there for the world's sake. Immediately they offend them. We're not going to be offended in Jesus' name. You see, when persecution and affliction arise against you, it shows you that you are on good ground. What I mean by that is this, that if there is something in you that Satan sees and he wants you to give up. That's why I told the Philadelphia church, say, hold fast to that which you have, so that no man takes your crown. That means Satan will want to take your crown. He will not get it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? So, but the good news is this. So don't get have a persecution complex. The good news is that we are supposed to overcome them by the power of God. I think we read that earlier. When Paul was talking, he said, persecution that he endured. And he said that, he said in verse 8, he said that, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ and of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of his affections of the gospel according to the power of God. Say, according to the power of God. Say, according to the power of God. So we're not just to go into persecution, or we're not just to endure, or like Yoruba say, I can have a moral. No. What if not say, I'm a moral? It's saying that we should endure it according to the power of God. That is, you put the power of God to work. The blood, the word, and spirit to overcome the affliction, to overcome the persecution. And one of the examples I have, you find in Paul, when they locked him and Silas in prison. He was at midnight. They started crying. Is that what the Bible says? No! They woke up at midnight. There's always a midnight hour for every Christian. There's always a getting money that you get to. But if you learn to pray and put the force of faith to work, use the blood, the word, and the spirit, you push back that. Paul says, even though the enemy shall come in, he's going to come in. But like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it and put him to flight. You know that story? He puts Satan to flight. So what Satan meant for evil, God turned around for good, getting that man born again, and he said, ah, so praise the Lord. So it's very important to know that. James chapter 5 verse 13. He says that, is any afflicted among you? Let him do what? Let him do what? That's not the time to start singing, you know. That's not the time to start singing or running from one church to the other. Is any afflicted among you? Let him what? Pray. So prayer is where we are going to. I'm not talking about kutia kutia prayer. All these prayers that can't do anything. We are talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. We need prayers that avail much to push back what the enemy is bringing this end time. Praise the Lord. But that's how we overcome. In my meditations, when mom was talking on the junior New Year's service, he was talking about some of her experiences, about how she now began to walk in faith. You know, I began to ponder upon these things because I have an idea of some of those things. You know, and if you are not careful, it can make you afraid that if they are going through this, then what is my hope? But we have hope in Jesus' name. So as I was meditating, I was saying, why should these things be happening at this particular time? As if Satan has tuned up the level of affliction and persecution. And I saw the reason why it's this. We are on the threshold of possessing the land. Believe me, open your Bible to book of Ephesians chapter 3. You know why? I was surprised when I was in my Bible. This was the last thing that Paul said before he began to pray for this cause. I bow my knees on the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom though, are you there? Please be fast, these guys. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Put it amplified. Before he began to pray the Ephesian prayer in chapter 3, this is what he said. He began to encourage Timothy and the brethren. What did he say? But my God, have mercy this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us. Ephesians 3, 13. I'll read. Say, wherefore, I desire that you what? Faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Like Paul said, the same Paul, he said, life, he said, death worketh in us, and life in you. You see, when many people want to say they are covering, no, you know what covering does? Covering is the first one that the rain hits. Covering is the one that takes the heat. You run when the rain begins to fall. It's covering that takes it down. So when you sit down and you enjoy everything, no, it's covering that takes the heat. So Paul began to say, he's going to tell them, guys, don't be afraid, though. You know what he said? He said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Then he began to pray the prayer of Ephesians. So you can imagine what's happening where we are now. He said, for this cause, I bow my knees on the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, of whom your family and everyone at his name, that he may grant unto you according to riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in our mind, so that Christ will dwell in your heart by faith, that become rooted and gathered, so be able to comprehend to us what is the breadth, length, the depth, and the height of the body of Christ, and may be filled with the fullness of God. It is because we are about to be filled with the fullness of God that the enemy has kicked up persecution. But thank God, for God says the rain fell, the winds blew, but the house was built on rock. Why? He said, it stayed still. Praise the Lord. So that is the reason why we are going through what we are going through. You'll see as we continue. Verse 9. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy. Are we there? Verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. The second verse. It says that, who had, are we there? It says, who had saved us? Say, who had saved us? And called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Like Pastor taught us. You see, God does not predestinate individuals, but he predestinates events. So those conditions, so those that fulfill those conditions become Peter is in the tent. So he said, who has called us and saved us? Save there talks about being born again. But I said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is word of God, I live it and abide it forever. So that's how we got born again. So he said, and has also called us. Let's with an holy calling. See, an holy calling. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. Lord have mercy. Romans 8, 28. What is it? Paul's talking about purpose and destiny. Are we there? Say, and we know, we must know. And we know that all things, say all things, all the persecution, all the affliction, all things work together for good. To them that what? Love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be what? The firstborn. Say the firstborn amongst many brethren. So God is expecting many more sons. Bible says that he suffered for us so that he might bring many sons unto glory. You see, we are playing the finals of a match. I remember in those days when you are playing a match, I'm just like, what's a beat? You know, when the enemy knows that it is the last match, I know they have already lost and they can't win. What begins to? They will begin to play rough. If you're not trying to say, I better see my CEC. You know what they will do? They will do what they call a Kioni Beji. You know, when you are coming with the ball to come and score, they will just jump like this. Hey! But you know what? If you are very, very wise and you know how to play football skillfully, like Maradona or any of these guys, Pele, you know how to avoid it. So when you avoid it, what can happen? This is the penalty box and you fall down, they will award you a penalty kick. Are you following me? So whenever your penalty, they give the guy a red card. You see, someone has been given the red card. Are you with me? So you see, and you see, God has counted it. Just like God has counted it for you for righteousness. God has already counted it to him. So at the end of the day, Agueti Quack was there. God goes to lock him up. That is why God allows those things to come. I found that it was when they come, it's not to destroy us. You see, Jesus' death delivered us from going to hell. But the price to pay for Satan to go to be eternally locked up in lake of fire, we have to do so. God allows him to bring all those particular afflictions. It's not to destroy us. Therefore, you must be skillful with using the word of righteousness. So you can know how to maneuver. So once he does it and he attacks you, are you following me? Then God will count. But yes, that's another thing. So you see, that's what God wants to do. Praise the Lord. And he says that it was given unto us in Christ before what? The world began. God already made those plans before the world began. Praise the Lord. So let's go to what we have for today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, read from verses 10 to 12. Let's see how far we can go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Praise the Lord. So Paul began to tell him that, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has what? Abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for which was I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast, say hold fast, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's see how far we can go. So Paul began to tell Timothy. He said that, look, this calling, this salvation that is getting born again, it was not possible until Christ was manifested. That is, in the Old Testament, they could not get born again. In the Old Testament, they could not fulfill their calling in terms of being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't until Christ came, died, went to hell, and was resurrected, and then he made what available. He first of all abolished death. Say, abolished death. And then the second is he made life. Say, life. And immortality to life. Through what? The gospel. You see, the gospel that Paul was saying, he said, the gospel which I preach is not according to man. And he began to talk about, he was talking to the Corinthian church. When they didn't understand, he said, if Christ died, how come some of you are saying he's not dead? It's like me, if I come here today, if I say, brethren, the Bible says that we in this body we travail, that the mortality must sort of life. And say it's not possible. You say growing is not possible. If there's no growing, there's no perfection. If you like, keep quiet. If there's no growing, there's no perfection. If there's no growing, they're not growing to Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 4 verse 19, say, my little children,
of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. So it's from baby there to little child to young man and to father. So if you don't travail, you are going to remain a little child. And if you're a little child, you need travail to take you to young man. You need travail to take you to father. Say, my little children, of whom I travail in birth. Again. Say again. Until Christ be formed in you. So you can't stop until Christ is formed in you. Praise the Lord. So that is where we are now. You need to put everything to work. All your God's blessing. If Satan moves anything at night, if it's night, fire back. Learn to cling with the blood. Lord with the spirit. Flow with the word. Fire back. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we're saying that this thing was not possible until Christ came. Why am I saying? Say, do what? Let's open Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11:13. Please, somebody else, let me take over that thing. It's taking too much time. Hebrews 11:13. Lord have mercy. Where Paul was talking. Lord have mercy. Hebrews 11:13. What Paul was talking. He said that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were what? Persuaded of them. And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 39. They saw it afar off. The Lord just said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Verse 39. What does it say? All these, all the Old Testament saints, Enoch, all of them, okay, Enoch was taken up to heaven. So all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Ask your neighbor, what promise? 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. The promise of eternal life. They were not born again in the Old Testament, though. As they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. Now, when you just carry on, the Bible says, let captive be captive, and give gifts unto men. Are you with me? I don't want to go there because of time. We should know that these things are foundational. See, that is the promise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. What says? And this is the promise that he has promised us. Even what? Eternal life. That is the promise that God has promised us. So when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says what? He said that I am he that liveth and is dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. And it's a amen. And I have what? The keys of hell and of death. So when he was raised from the dead, I found the Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made the open show of them openly. I said he took the keys of death and hell. Pastor preached many times. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how pastor does that. Anytime he gets to that place, he says, "I draw no God. Only me, I come my woo. It's forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God thy God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So when he resurrected that day, you know, the Bible said in Revelation, he said, John said, "Who is worthy to open the book?" Folks, it is there's nobody. At one day I sat in my room, I was sharing with my wife. God spoke to me. I said, "Honey, Jesus is Lord, though. It's not a cliche. You know why? Bible says that. Let me put it this way. He did not sin. Yet the Bible says he pleased the Father to bruise him. What if he had sinned? He will go to hell and he won't come back home. Don't be religious. As he was tempted in every way like as well. Yet that's why when he woke up in the morning, he understood God. Many of us don't understand God. That God will not spare him if he made a mistake. Bible says, who in Jesus of flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and just unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. Say, and he was heard in that he feared. And he was heard in that he feared. You know why? You know why? He was afraid, not morbid fear. I will be that. Look, if God does not show me mercy today, I'm in trouble. You are not only operating the principles. But he was holding that he feared. Say, though he were a son, yet learned you obedience by the things which he suffered. So he suffered self-denial every morning. Are you following me? Say, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You can make your confessions of money tonight. If you don't fear God, you will not depart from evil. There will be a section of you that longs for evil. By the fear of the Lord, Jesus departed from evil. So you choose the fear of God every morning. Honesty and humility of heart. Knowing that, look, not that God is wicked. But as you grow more in God, and begin to get a little of old Moses, you begin to understand something about God. When Moses was begging God, God said, no, Moses, no, no, you're not going. Things were so bad. No, I use the word bad. That Joseph's body entered. They didn't even take Moses' body in. By the fear of the Lord, men, Christians, will depart from evil. Praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ understood that. He understood the goodness and the severity of God. That even though I used to be the second person of the Godhead, if I come and I misbehave and I sin, that will be it. So value your Christianity. Don't let's pray with what Christ has done. So I was like, oh, it's order to open the book. Look, he wept much. There was nobody. But we thank God for his grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That blood is precious. That blood is precious. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? We've read that. Where was I? Okay. They could not fulfill purpose and destiny. You know, until Christ came and he died and was raised again. Let's now continue. I put it there. I said that he put... Just a minute. Okay, here we are. I says that in that same verse 10, he says that through the appearing of Jesus Christ, he did three things. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light to the gospel. So that means abolishing of death, receiving of life, and the issue of immortality. Are you following me? Immediately to form eternal death is inside the gospel. There's no other religion that can give you that. No other religion. So let's look at it one by one. It's abolish death. See, that's the same word that he uses for death. In some other versions, Hebrew say destroy. Say destroy. That word in Greek is katago. God have mercy on me. What does it mean? It means to render idle. Say render idle. Unemployed. Inactive. To what? To deprive of force, influence, and power. So God, you know what Jesus Christ did when he was on the death? I follow him. He deprived Satan of the power of death. I follow him. The Bible says, see, when he did, that death we're talking about is primarily the law of sin and death. The same nature that came into Adam that now led to physical death. So God said he abolished it. He annulled it. He had no effect again. You see, before Satan was rejoicing that once people die, they will go to hell. But God was just paying. God was just, okay, don't worry. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. So everybody, Abraham, they will look at him. Hey, this is 1,000 years. When is it going to come? Because they could see help in it. I follow him and they could see people that have gone there. They could see the rich man. So Abraham, all these people, part of all he did, the good report. But you see, when the master came, you know, he died, he went to hell, and God raised him there. And he abolished death. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I put it there in summary. He put an end to the reign of spiritual death over the Adamic race with the final consequence of eternal death by bringing life and immortality to life. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says the same thing. We need to know what we have. It's when we don't know that Satan begins to deceive us. When you understand who you are and you understand the price that he paid. Remember I said, to whom much is forgiven, will love more. But when you don't know, then you take it carelessly. You will not take it carelessly just now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 40. What does it say? For as much then, as the children are what? Partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Next verse. And what? Deliver them. Deliver them who through the fear of death they are all their lifetime subject to bondage. Put it back in the previous verse 14. Let me make it very simple because of time. He says, Bible says that through death, I follow him, he destroyed him that had the power of death. The easiest way I can make it, most of us are Yoruba, say, if you want to catch a monkey, you behave like a monkey. So you see, just kind of took on the form of man. I follow, so when Satan took him, he thought he had. Bible says that death could not hold him captive. He took him down to hell. He punished him. He made a terrible mistake that day. Bible says, are the princes of the world? No, they will not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Anyway, he crucified the Lord. And you know what? He rose on the third day. Victorious. Having spoiled principalities and powers. He made the awesome show of them. So that was how he destroyed death. And in destruction of that death, he brought into existence the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not as if the operation of death is not there. It's there, but it's inoperative. It's like law of gravity and law of lift. If you keep on activating the law of lift, are you following me? It will seem as if law of gravity is not there. So it's inoperative. Are you following me? So that's what he did. Through death, it destroyed him that had the power of death. So the Bible says that, look, so that we are no longer afraid of death. You see, when you begin to understand that the power of death has been broken, when you begin to understand and you know about the hope of our resurrection, we're not going to be afraid. I follow. We'll get there later when we start talking about immortality. I follow him. Praise the Lord. But for now, let me concentrate what I believe God has given me. He said, the next thing is he has brought life. Say, brought life to light. He has brought life to light through the gospel. That is, he has manifested, but no, it was in 1 John. It's that which he has seen and handled. Even the word of life. He brought it to light for everybody. See, what Adam lost in the garden, Christ restored it back to us. But what I want us to say today is this, is that, you see, let me just go through some basics. What is the life of God? It is the spiritual liquid inside God that makes God God. The Bible calls it living water. John chapter 5 verse 26 says, as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. So as the Son also has life in himself, so the Son also wants to give life to everybody. John 17 verse 2. Instead, John 17 verse 2. Are we there? It says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that you should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Next verse. And this is what? Life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You see, many of us know Christ in our spirits when we get born again. But we need to know him in our souls and also in our physical bodies. That's what I want to get to today. Praise the Lord. You see, we need to know Christ not just in our souls, in our physical bodies. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? There is nothing, before I go on, that we can ever do to merit the life of God. There is no works, nothing you can ever do. There are three things Pastor mentioned. Say faith, grace, and life. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Say, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise of eternal life might be sure to all the seed. That's the guy. It is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise, or promise of eternal life in your soul, spirit, to our body, might be sure to all the seed, to everybody. Praise the Lord. So, faith in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've just explained. He died and was raised. That's how he kept born again. See, that faith now makes grace available to you, unmerited favor. You see, but the grace that is ministered to you comes along with the life of God. So the measure of life you receive is dependent on the grace that God allows to come to you, and that comes based on the humility of your heart. Those two things, honesty and humility, are key things to fulfill destiny. It's not gra-gra. The more humble you are, the more grace you will have. I found that my Paul said, I labored more than they, yet not I, but the grace of God that was me. So that grace now makes life available to you. I follow me. Praise the Lord. So this life, like I said, is given in measures. You can't have it at once. Bam. So where you have it in our spirit, each day as you wake up and you pray and go and do money, Jesus and those things, begin to push that love. Pump it to your soul. Then you pump it to your physical body. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Help me, Lord Jesus. Are we there? It's a wonderful scripture. It says, according as his divine power are given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Say life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world to lust. So this life comes to us in measures. In measures as you grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. Now this year, this is what I want to get to before I finish. This year has been declared by our parents as the year of breaking through the flesh. A year of pleasantness and also a year of pleasant things. Praise the Lord. So let's on 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we are talking this day. I've spoken about abolishing death. Now we're talking about the life he has brought into physical manifestation through the gospel. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say? Let's read. It says, but we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Next verse. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now let me ask before we move forward. What is the reason for the trouble? Answer. What is the reason for the trouble? The treasure. Say the treasure. Every one of us has treasures in our earthen vessels. He says, we are troubled on every side. If it had been good, if only one side. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but yet not in despair. Next verse, please. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Next verse. Always, they're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Next verse. We repeat the same thing. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that also the life also of Jesus Christ might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Next verse. It says, so then death worketh in us, but what? Life in you. There's a message I prepared. Go around to preach it. Standing still and firm in Jordan. When they were going to cross Jordan, you know what God told them? He told the priests, said they should carry the ark and stand in Jordan. Then later on, they moved to the middle of Jordan. Said they stood firm. That speaks about your battle prayer and speaks about daily walk in the spirit. You see, when you stand, when you carry the ark, the presence of God, the love of God, and you stand still in Jordan, Jordan will part ways. For the younger ones that are not old enough to carry the ark, they will walk through. That's what you do when you wake up every morning. That's what happens when you pray for good morning, Jesus. Others come, but people are waking up early and they're standing firm in Jordan. Then the four of us stand still. They stand firm. You know why? They must stand until everybody crosses over. So when you now go and join, either you wake up late and you go out that day, you are healed, you are delivered. Look, some people are standing in Jordan. And they must say no shaking. Say no shaking. The oxen must not stumble. Because if he stumbles, Uzziah will die. So they have to continue to pray. After battle, go to walk in the spirit. So that why? Continue people are, because they have to, everybody has to cross over. So it happens daily. It also happens weekly. It also happens monthly. That's what covering does. So if you wake up in the morning and you don't pray, or you wake up in the morning and you join late, everything goes good for you that day. Praise God. One day, you two will be called to carry the ark. And you stand firm in Jordan. And you stand still in Jordan. Then those under your covering will cross over. And you must not shake. Because if you shake, Jordan will come back together. Until they cross over. That is another message for another day. Yes. The reason for the trouble, I said, is because of the treasure in us. And also, as it pertains to us, the command has been given to us this year to go where? To the other side. So we are going over to the other side. We are going over to the other side. Now I said, now kicked up his persecution. It's not just because we have the treasure at the vessel. Maybe we had the treasure all these years. Nothing has happened. But the day, God said the evening and the morning was the first day. When they declared in what time service that look, we are in a season where the life of God must be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What are we season? Let us go to the other side. The other side is where the life of God made manifest in the mortal body. The sister arose. There arose a great storm. Let's go. When you see, let's open to help the Holy Spirit to calm down. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Amplified. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let's read that story and see where we are. So we can understand what is going on. Are we there? Amplified, please. Amplified. Lord have mercy. Let me open Amplified Bible. Okay. We read. On that same day, when the evening had come. We're not talking about this one was literal evening. Now I say the evening. And the morning was the first day. So God was saying, say, let us what? Go over to the other side. Say, let us. Who said this? So he was among the council in heaven. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, say, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Are you with me? He said it there. He's saying also to us here. To the other side. Next verse. Next verse, please. Out of time. Okay, move past 37. 37. 37. And a furious, say, and a furious storm of wind, of hurricane, of hurricane proportions, arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat, so that it was already becoming filled. Verse 38. Let us go to the other side. Let us make man in our own image. Are you with me? But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion. And they are walking. And said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? They didn't understand. How can you perish? My Bible says it's not willing that any should perish. If it's not willing that any should perish, There is no will that anybody should not make his destiny. But can't you see? Let's keep reading. He says that I will perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now, be still, muzzled. And the wind ceased, sank to what? Rest, as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. That is what we are going to do. Hallelujah! So let us go to the other side. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once. That's the right division. Make it plain. So he that readeth may run. The division is for a better time. Don't you tell him, wait for it. We are not waiting again. We are going ahead to possess the land. Praise the Lord. So please stay with me. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. In KJV. So Paul was telling them his afflictions and everything. He said, unto you that are troubled, rest. Unto you that are troubled, rest. Let's together. And this, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. For your patience and faith, all your persecutions, and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Praise the Lord. Next verse, please. Which is a manifest token of righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom and God, for which you are also called. Next verse. Sin, says sin, is a righteous thing with God, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Next verse. And to you, who are troubled, do what? Rest with us. So unto you that are troubled, rest with us. Why am I saying this? What God told me this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. When a war comes like that, so that you might war a good warfare by the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. You see, when a prophecy goes, that this year is so and so, the prophecy is not going to wait with you here. It's going to go and be waiting for you there. Calling you to come up either. Let's read. Are we there? This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the word prophecies, which went before you in this year 2021, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So, what are we saying? There's a warfare involved in entering the rest. But you see, the prophecy has gone forth. And God is not the man to lie, nor someone to repent. So the prophecy to manifest life of God in the mortal body is waiting for us on the other side. Are you with me? The prophecy of Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that says that because you have kept the word of my patience, and you have not denied my name, therefore I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. I'll come then to try the door in the air. Are you with me? The prophecy has declared that this year, for our parents and also by extension to us, is a year of sabbatical rest has gone forth. It's waiting for us on the other side. So we are to war a good warfare by those prophecies. As a counting of joy, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith, work in patience. Let patience have its perfect work and the perfect that God wants it. If any of you lack wisdom, let that is why Jesus Christ to sleep. When he gave what else go to the other side, just went to sleep. That's why Peter could sleep in prison. When he locked him up, he knew what Christ had told him. And for Christ had told him I was going to die. So he just went to bed. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word, my prophecies shall not pass away. Praise the Lord. So that is the word that life of God made manifest in our mortal flesh. And I put it here. Earlier on, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, We are troubled on every side. But see, the reason for the trouble is this. God wants to give us rest on every side. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. As I begin to round up. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. Are we there? 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. Are we there? Let's read. This is the time of Solomon. See, you have to make a transition from the time of David to the time of Solomon. So see what Solomon says. But now, the Lord my God are giving me what? Rest on every side. Me, no more trouble. Are you following me? So that there is neither adversary, say adversary one, nor evil occurrence two. Who is the adversary? Satan. Going about seeking with 54. There's no evil occurrence again. What does that mean? You have already checkmated the prince of the power of the air. So he can no longer operate in your sphere of influence. So initially we are troubled on every side. But the end point is this. God wants to give us rest on every side. Praise the Lord. No adversary. If I will talk about Paul, the Paul we are talking about, Paul has so much problem. But when he got to Rome, the Bible says Paul dwelt in his own rented house and nobody disturbed me. He said, Paul said something. He said, let no man disturb me, for I bear in my body the marks of Lord Jesus Christ. The marks are there. That's how you know the fathers. The marks are there. That's how you know the fathers. Lord Jesus Christ, too. He bore the marks, the stripes. That brings us healing. Praise the Lord. So, I begin to round up. God wants to give us rest on all sides. So don't allow the trouble to disturb you. To hold our trouble, rest with us. So that we can plot why. Verse 5 says this. Why is God giving us rest on all sides? Because you see, we cannot build a house to his name if you don't enter rest. That next time Solomon said, please stay. Verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 5. He said, God has given, you see, before Solomon could begin to build a place that God would dwell in, the glory could not dwell in his fullness until God gave them rest. Please, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5. We'll repeat that verse. He said, was telling the guy that was able to bring wood and all that stuff. I said, behold, Lord have mercy. I propose to build a house unto the name of the Lord, as the character of my God. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. The character of God. Praise the Lord. So I think I'll stop here for now because of time. So God wants to give us rest on all sides. So all these prophets that have gone this year, there is a year of pleasant surprises. That it is a year in which the life of Christ will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It's a year and a decade in which we'll break through the veil of the flesh. So it's not going to happen just by sitting down. But the consolation we have is this. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 6 or so, I think it's 6. It says that by two immutable things, you understand why we flee for refuge. We are not running away from Satan. We are running to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Please put it there. It says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. I'm not running away from Satan. I'm not afraid of what I can bring. But I know one thing that will save me is to lay hold upon the hope that is set for me. Next verse. It says that which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter within the veil. Our hope is within the veil. Next verse. Without the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus, made and high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's stand to our feet. The reason why, the primary reason why is high priest is this. The primary reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is high priest is this. Is that he might bring many sons to glory. The primary reason why he's high priest today is this. That you may lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. All the other things are there. Prosperity, healing, and all that. We'll talk about it next time. But the primary reason why he's awake night and day in heaven praying is that you may lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. So if you don't lay hold upon that hope and you lay hold upon something else, your soul will not be satisfied. Don't be like the children of Israel. I'm going to stop now. When they got to the edge of the promised land, the half tribe of Manasseh, they went to Moses. They said, Moses, please, we don't want to go over. Moses said, you people, you are stiff-necked. Why don't you want to go? He said, you see, we already have cattle here. This place is good. Everything is fine. So Moses went to God and he asked them. That speaks of Pentecost. He said, God said, leave them. God will not leave us. You know why God has spoken to them? He said, Moses, he said, we are going to the other side. But because of the wealth, the prosperity, and the things they began to enjoy, they took this side for the promised land, which is not. So God didn't disturb them. He said, leave them. He said, but they will go and fight with you. After they have fought you, they will come back. What does that mean? You see, it's the body thing. God will use their prayers to push us across. Then we are there, then they will go back. That was why Moses was saying, God, show me. He said, this land, I want to go. It is our destiny. I keep shouting, brethren, because I can see the land ahead. That is what we are called to do. that life will make manifest in our mortal flesh. So when people touch you like Christ, they are healed instantly. That's about destiny. It will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Let's sing this song as we talk to God. Father of lights, please sing for me.
Father of light, draw me closer.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Heart, let's sing it.
Lord, my heart is set on you.
Let me run the race of time.
Let me run the race of time. With your life and fullness.
I read the scripture. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly and in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness. Not in tampering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. Let us pray. Raise one hand to heaven. One hand to heaven. Lord, please have mercy on us to receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the purpose of your calling in my life, which is to allow the life of God to occupy not just my spirit, but my soul, and to be manifest in my mortal flesh. I also understand that this is the season. That this is the reason for the trouble on every side. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace. You enable me to diligently use the blood, your word, and your spirit to labor with travail in the place of prayer. That I may enter into rest on all sides as your life is made manifest in my mortal flesh in this Kairos moment. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pray. Rabba Santa Rabakuruba Sakarabakuri. Rubba Santa Rabakuruba Salabakuri. Rabba Sedebakuruba. Pray, brethren. Pray. Rabba Sukuruba Salabakuru. Father, we thank you. Rabba Santa. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rabba Subrema. Holy Spirit, thank you. Rabba Santa Rabakuruba Salabakuru. Sedeba. Rabba Sekarabakuba Kaya Kataka. Rabba Sakataba Rabba Surabakuru. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.